All right, all of you, universe lovers. Huh? I can speak, I swear. We're back with another podcast episode, and we are actually talking about future things. What a shocker. But we can't do it alone. You'll see why. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us again on another podcast episode. It is nice and shiny, but allergy season is here, and boy, do I hate it. Now that I've ranted, let's move into our topic for today. We're going to talk about the future of animation using some movies coming out this year. We're going to talk about it. And of course, we can't do these alone. We have one of our best nerd buddies here, Frank from Geek Freaks Podcast. Say hello to the world, sir.
Hello, everybody.
All right, so let us jump right in and do this. I know I've been on a throwback kick, but hey, you know, sometimes you got to see what happens in the future. So first things first, animation has come a long way, which actually we were just talking about a second ago offline. What's the major difference today, animation-wise, versus what we grew up with, you know, talking old-school Disney, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon?
Everything takes a computer now. Even what looks like a hand-drawn animation has facets that are used through computer generation. A lot of times they'll just put in the rigging and they'll use the computers to create the actual motion. It saves time and makes for editing, makes editing a lot simpler.
All right, and what's funny is that while for the ones you're speaking of, that's a big new animation area, but what we will notice in some of these is that sometimes old school animation still kind of rules the roost a little bit. I think the best example recently, in my opinion, would be when The Simpsons finally made that movie a couple years ago. It was pretty much one long episode, you know. But I think what made it kind of cool was that it looked like The Simpsons. Do you think, and we'll, there's a few on the list we're going to talk about that kind of play off of that. Do you think that there's still a chance for, I don't want to say old school because animation has come a long way, but do you think there is a chance for some original animated movies to still maybe show up once in a while?
No doubt. But even when old school animation comes into place, like that Simpsons movie, for example, there was a lot of computer generated graphics in that Simpsons movie. For example, when they're flying the dome in, that was all done through computers. That wasn't actually hand drawn. The rigging was hand drawn, you know, the original parts were, but then they used, it's something that they learned from Futurama. Futurama was the first cartoon to really use that on kind of a regular basis. Anytime you saw the Planet Express ship fly at a different angle or whatever, it was all computers. That's the same thing for that dome flying. And there's a lot of moments in that movie that were actually done with, it's kind of a cool hybrid where we get to enjoy the old school using the new school tricks.
All right, fair enough. And I actually brought that one up because the first movie we're going to jump into is from the same channel. Mm-hmm. Cartoon, I haven't really gotten into too much, but I know it's super popular.
I love it.
Bob's Burgers finally gets a movie. So this show has been on for how long now? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's on its eighth or ninth season.
Okay, so it's not the longest, but it's been out there pretty fairly long now. Yeah. So the movie is obviously based off the series. The voices from the show will be back to do the movie, obviously. This one is scheduled from 20th Century Studios now, no longer 20th Century Fox, in July of this year. I didn't find too much on it, but the one sentence that stuck out to me on my searches were, the film will be a musical comedy and would involve Louise and her nightlight coochie copy inside her fantasy world as a minor subplot. So that's very vague. Obviously, those out there who know what that means will probably enjoy that. Like, actually, it works that you like it. What do you think we're going to get from this? Or do you think it's going to kind of be like The Simpsons where it'll be like one giant episode?
Well, the Coochie Copy episode, the subplot is actually basically one of their episodes already. They did have a part where she had a flu. She had a fever, and a fever dream of hers was working with Coochie Copy together. So I have a feeling that we're going to have a revisit of that, which was one of their funnest episodes. Our podcast has always kind of theorized that this could be one of their car trip episodes too, because it leans into that exploring the world. It's kind of like a Road to Roadhog, or not Roadhog, but anyways, Rhode Island, this one from Family Guy. So it's the same kind of thing where you can get a lot of each character's moments inside the small box and then explore from there. I think it's going to be a long episode of Bob's Burgers, which is the best thing for the fans. It's a really good show. It's really character driven. I think that's what we're going to get for the movie as well. They've been really quiet about everything, though. It's hard to tell.
Well, I was going to bring that up, too, because I feel like maybe because the show is still fairly new and they kind of wanted to surprise people with it. But any particular thoughts on why you think they were keeping it so hush-hush, other than the obvious of why studios keep things silent?
Well, you know, on this one, I think the particular reason is they didn't want to build too much hype behind it, because you get a Sonic moment where there's so much expectations that people are judging you before you can actually come with the product. And Sonic being completely computer animated, they were luckily able to just push it back a few months and fix the animation. For Bob's Burgers, a lot of it is still hand-drawn, and you can't go back and fix things. And in this world, you know, like the Simpsons one, when that came out, it just doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was long enough ago to where the internet wasn't delving into every development piece like we are now. Right. So they had time to develop it. This one, they're just trying to keep it quiet so people don't, you know, criticize them before the movie's out, kind of thing.
Oh, you know it's going to happen anyway.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So that's fair enough. So we started off the list with this one, just, you know, kind of to dive in. But that's why I brought up the thing at the beginning of whether or not animation of the hand-drawn variety is still worth it. But as you said, every little bit of it, you know. What's funny is even I think live action still, I think, even uses some sort of CGI as well, because there are some live action movies that it would be impossible to make somebody do what they do. So maybe just a thing. Maybe, you know, TV, movies, whatever. Even, hell, music videos sometimes do it too. Yeah. Maybe just a thing. We're stuck with CGI. I'm not necessarily going to say yay or nay, like it's a bad or good, but, you know, what are you going to do? We grew up in the 90s with the, you know, what looks like crappy cartooning, but I loved it. I mean, I go back and I watch a Rugrats episode and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. But that's just me. So, you know, I think it's a nostalgia thing. I think people like the original. So maybe, as you pointed out, the people who are loving the show, maybe this will kind of be another entryway into some other future things they can do with the franchise.
Yeah.
All right, so stopping from one to actually a throwback, a real throwback, one that I believe has actually been on the books for a long time but has yet to even surface, and I feel so funny even saying it because this is like, I think I was like, I don't know, 10 when we watched this. Like, this was a whole show. Clifford the Big Red Dog is coming to theaters. I actually kind of want to say finally, because I'm surprised it took this long. Considering all the other characters that we have out there, this was a big franchise, right? Like, when we were kids, there were books, there were toys. Obviously, PBS had the TV show. Before we go into our thoughts on this, what made Clifford a iconic character in your mind?
Well, you know, he's one of those PBS ones where they didn't have – the competition they had were Little and Loyal. So if you think about, like, the other ones, like Arthur and, you know, maybe Thomas the Train or Tank Engine. There wasn't a lot of them, but they lasted for a long time. So I think that's what helped Clifford, is it was just around forever. I don't know how many seasons it was on for, but it was something that was just kind of a staple. And I think that might be why it didn't get a movie right away, is because of the PBS deal, because I can't think of any other PBS cartoon that has a mainstream movie.
I mean, I know Sesame Street has made multiple films, but that was really via Jim Henson because of the Muppets.
Exactly, yeah.
So I don't really know if that would count. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I'm saying they're owned by HBO now too, so even they decided to branch out. It was like they were almost like subcontracted to PBS.
Right, so I think that, yeah, that probably wouldn't count, I think, because I think when I think of Sesame Street, I think of the Muppets, because, big, you know, even though there were people in suits, a lot of them were Muppets. So I think you're right. I think, and if they were made into a film, it was probably a children's short TV made movie. Like, it wasn't a film. It was like a, as we call it, a longer episode, I think.
Yeah, like a straight to DVD kind of thing.
Right. Now, this one's interesting because even though it is under the animated, this is going to be just like that movie Hop, where Clifford himself will be animated, but the remaining characters will be live action characters.
Okay.
So again, why they put this under animated film, I don't know, maybe just because Clifford is a cartoon and that's it. So this actually has quite a good chunk of people in it. We have people like John Cleese, Sienna Gilroy, Kenan Thompson, Rosie Perez, David Alan Greer. Now, what's funny is that a lot of these people, we don't realize, or at least I don't realize, a lot of these big actors do these voices that we don't think about. So it seems like a lot of cool people, but I know for sure, Kenan Thompson, David Alan Greer, they've done cartoon voices before, probably just because of what business they were in. John Cleese, I know, has done many characters before, voice as well. But what do you think about that type of grouping right there? Is it just because they need big names, or do you think there's something there?
I have a feeling with this project, it might be a bit more passion. If you look at like Cleese is a legend. He probably doesn't need any work at this point. Kenan Thompson, he's bound to take over for SNL once Lorne Michaels is done, and he's actually starting his own all of that. So he's plenty busy.
There you go.
So all these guys have a lot of work on the table. I think this is just something that's on the side, and it might be a little bit of a passion project for him.
I always wonder too, because a lot of times I know that these people have like kids at this point. So yeah. I wonder if they do this in a way so that way when they're older, their kids can have something to kind of watch that isn't inappropriate. Because like, for instance, Sienna Gilroy, as we all know, is from Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a kid-friendly movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe she wants to have something on the plate where if her kids want to watch a movie with their mom, they can watch this movie. I'm just a guess. I don't know. But does that kind of make sense? Because I know a lot of people that nowadays have children. So I think they're also thinking, what can I show my family that isn't, bloody or gory or violent?
I could see that. Kenan Thompson has, like, I think it's a 4-year-old daughter.
Okay, there you go.
And I know other performers, like Will Smith, for a long time there, wouldn't work on any project that he couldn't show his kids. And that was kind of his staple for a long time. I don't know. Yeah,
the reason why he did a lot of like Men in Black, but kind of the silly, easygoing.
Yeah, the more family friendly adventures. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so back in 2012, it looks like it was when they actually started talking about it. It's going to be a mixture of Universal Studios and Illumination. So Illumination, for you guys who know, they're the guys who made the Minions popular. Which I'm hooked on them now. My girlfriend's obsessed with them. I love them. Yeah. We're actually going to bring them up a little bit. So right then and there, that's two big companies that have really taken animation by storm. But actually up until then Illumination actually canceled the year after. So I was excited at first. Now it looks like the only person in it is Paramount Pictures.
Yeah.
So what do we think might have happened, or is this something that happens all the time when studios like to change up and just say, no, I don't want to do it anymore?
It might have been too much work. They have so many groups that go out there and kind of analyze what the demographics are going to be. So they might not have seen too much of a demand for this film, and so they shifted courses. Paramount's the ones that did the Sonic movie. So they could be stepping into animation world. We'll see what happens.
All right, so it looks like they began shooting the stuff in New York last year. So I know animation takes a long time. So the fact that a lot of it just started shooting, I'm surprised that they're bringing it out this year, but maybe there's more done that we know of, and maybe just a matter of putting everything together. Yeah. So it looks like right now it's scheduled for November 13th. And by the way, I always like to caveat, everything that we learn could be changed. So if something changes, don't come yelling at us. We just rewrite. So
we're 2 months in, and I think maybe 20 projects have been delayed so far. It's
right.
We cannot keep up right now. It's nuts.
It's like, come on, people, leave us alone. We're just reading what the internet gives us. I know we're not supposed to trust the internet, but come on. Okay, so that's really all we know about that. There's nothing really reported on the plot, but again, it is Clifford, so it probably isn't going to be one of those deep thinking,
I would assume it's probably an origin story of Clifford, of like them first getting the dog and stuff like that.
Yeah, there you go. That could be. So whatever you guys think out there, let us know in the comments below. All right, moving on to the next one. Again, another movie that came out, feels like pretty recently. I don't remember when the first one came out. Wasn't really a big fan of this one. It was kind of one of those DreamWorks pictures, we can make it because we can. But we're doing The Croods 2, apparently. It looks like the same cast is coming back. So Nicolas Cage, Ryan Reynolds, Emma Stone, Leslie Mann. This time, however, the Croods are challenged by a rival family named the Fettermans, who claim to be better and more evolved. The problem I have with DreamWorks, I will just say now, other than movies like Kung Fu Panda and Minions, they don't really seem to put much thought into their plot and really put a lot of their effort into the visual. the problem that comes to that, I think, is that you end up with a really well-drawn movie with no understanding of really what's happening.
Yeah.
What's your take?
So Croods, I watched the first Croods. It was one of those nights where you're kind of just going through Netflix and hoping something will catch your eye. And Croods, I was like, what the heck? I watched this Croods. I was pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed it. It wasn't like changing my life, but I thought solid. It's kind of like a Madagascar level to me, to where I gotta watch a Madagascar. I'm not going to theaters for it though. So when they announced Croods 2 and that Nicolas Cage is coming back, which is a big high point for me, I was like, I'm in. I'm going to watch this as soon as it comes out on Netflix. I'm not going to go to the theaters for it. So DreamWorks, they're not the DreamWorks of old. I mean, DreamWorks originally spawned out of basically Disney wanting to spin off, right? It's the guys from Disney that wanted to create their own company. So you got DreamWorks. And it had that quality in the early days. And now it's got, you know, pretty good quality, but it's mixed in with so many. Illumination's really kicking butt right now. It's really hard to kind of compete. So I'm looking forward to a solid film. I'm not holding my breath for it, though.
And, you know, and I misquoted. I actually put Minions under there, but they're under Illumination. But, yeah, as far as DreamWorks goes, really the only series that I found so far from them that really stuck with me was Kung Fu Panda.
Classic.
That and one Shrek really...
Shrek was like, they're like, look at us, we're awesome. I mean, that was too good.
Well, Shrek was good for the time being. Now I look back at Shrek and I'm like, this is kind of an odd, inappropriate kids movie. Like, there were so many, like, they almost threw in so many innuendos just to make it worthy of adults to
I know, but man, Shrek 2 is still one of the best animated movies in the world. Like, I'll put that up, top 10 animated movies of all time. It's so, Shrek 2 is perfect.
All right, we can agree to disagree on this one. We can agree, but I mean, but as far as DreamWorks goes, there's very few that really comes out that really makes me go, "Oh, that was a DreamWorks movie." I will give you that Shrek definitely does stick to them. So when somebody says DreamWorks, somebody usually says, "Oh, Shrek." So obviously they did something right with the franchise.
True.
But something like the Croods, you know, I think Boss Baby was one of them, which I guess there was a sequel to that coming
that's
out.
So
too.
Stupid. Yeah.
There's a bunch of DreamWorks stuff that, you know, like you said, you're bored at home, you flip on the TV, you go through the channels. Okay, it's on, whatever. I got time to waste. Let's just watch it, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily grasping me at all. It's just more of a, I think it's the franchise syndrome thing. You make a franchise, people see the first one or the second one, and you just roll with it. It doesn't really work very well that way. It's kind of like, it's like, okay, so this is going to be a very odd comparison, but Friday the 13th went on for like 10 movies.
Right, yeah.
What's funny about it is that somehow that franchise stuck very well for the time that it was in, same with Nightmare on Elm Street. But the problem is that you're trying to use that type of thing with brand new movies that don't have the same attention that you had from the 80s. And that's where I think the problem lies for me, is that it's like, I bet you anything, after the 2 comes out, they're probably already making number 3 right now. Why? Because the franchise is popular. Will 3 come out in theaters? Probably not. It'll probably be straight to video. But you see where I'm going? I feel like they're doing this because they want to make more money and they can. It's not going to do well, but they don't care because people are going to see it anyway.
And they have different teams too. So you have like your A squad, your best team that is for development. They'll start on a brand new project because it takes the most time to really develop these characters.
Right.
As soon as the movie's successful, then they know, like, look, all you have to do is take this, rinse, repeat, do the story. And so they shift it down to the B squad. And sometimes the B squad just can't put out a good enough movie. And that'll keep going down and down and down. So
until you end up just putting them all on a DVD, and that's how you make your sales.
And then you're putting out Christmas specials that nobody watches. Yeah.
It's actually funny. I was watching Big Bang Theory the other night. It was the episode with Mark Hamill officiating the wedding. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked him about the thing. And then Stewart made the comment about the special. And Mark Hamill's like, they did? Like, he was playing it off because I think even he knew how, you know, stupid it was.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the next one. I'm actually super excited about this, as we can tell. Minions, The Rise of Gru. So this actually takes us back to Gru as a young child, basically trying to be a really good superhero. What's funny about this franchise of movies, I never thought in my mind that this would stick, but something about it, and I think maybe it's the voice acting, I don't know, but something about it, it's so ridiculously funny, you really can't go wrong with this franchise, I think. I don't know if you've seen the Minions separate films. Overall, what did you think? Is this just, I mean, it's a funny franchise, right?
I'm so happy it stuck around, man. It is really good. Yeah.
So basically what happens, I watched, if you guys haven't seen it, go to YouTube. The trailer dropped last week, actually. Young Gru basically steals a precious diamond from the Vicious Six, which sounds to me like a Fast and the Furious reference right there. And basically is on the run from them, trying to prove how evil he is. And he's basically outrunning these 70s retro villains. And it's hilarious because they really pull out the stops. Like they form the hair to look like the 70s. They make the clothes. I mean, they get to a point where somebody might say it might be offensive, but it really isn't, because they don't actually do anything that is offensive. They just get there and don't cross the line. So what's great about these movies, I think, is that, and again, some people might disagree, I like how before the movie's out, you already know what it's about because you already know what you're getting into. This movie, it works well without giving anything away. What do you think?
Yeah, they do really good. And I'm a big James Bond fan. And so these kind of fall into the following James Bond villains. So you could imagine, like, Gru is just Blofeld, but he's funnier. And, and so I always like to watch, especially when they go with the 70s, because 70s James Bond was the best, when he's just like having a flying rocket pack, lifting up a chair and no smokestack. I mean, like, it's just crazy stuff all the time. And so that's exactly what you're watching. You're watching crazy Blofeld with a minions that I couldn't tell you what race they are or species they are, just doing wacky stuff and with all the gadgets. I love it. It's exactly what I wanted.
So yeah, so this is I'm super stoked. So this one is actually coming out fairly soon, coming out in July. Probably part of the summer kids movies, because they always kind of separate them by that. So we've got a lot of the people coming back. We have Julie Andrews coming back as his mom. We have Steve Carell obviously back as Gru, and then we got people like Taraji B. Henson, Michelle Yeoh, RZA, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Lucy Lawless, Dolph Lundgren, Danny Trejo. So and it's great. Funny because they are making fun of themselves. Like, they are definitely playing off of their, you got Dolph Lundgren from, like, you know, every action movie. Danny Trejo playing off of, I think, what was it, Grindhouse movie?
Machete.
Machete. Lucy Lawless, obviously, there needs no introduction for that one. Yep. Jean-Claude Van Damme, who, funny enough, is in a lot more comedies than I realized he was in.
I love Jean-Claude
Van Damme. Like, he actually makes fun of himself every time he can.
He's amazing. I remember as a child, any movie of his came out, it was, okay, let's get it. Let's get a pizza. Let's get some popcorn. It's movie night. We're watching the next Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Every one of his movies. Love him so much.
Well, there you go. So we know you're going to see him for that. And then, of course, we got Russell Brand coming back, who, Dr. Nefario, probably the best character ever.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Like, the best line from anyone is when he's like, why are you so old? And he just, like, walks off. Like, that's the...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is still through Illuminations, thank God, and Universal, which I think Illuminations might be owned by them at this point, or at least has some sort of connection. And then Pierre Coffin, who basically voices all the Minions. I don't know how the hell that guy does that, but...
A for effort.
Tats off to somebody who can mumble and make it sound like it's worked. It looks like that Mattel and Lego already have some sets being released. And actually, so I don't know why this, because YouTube made it sound like the trailer was just released, but I guess over the Super Bowl, it was a sneak peek. I'm sorry. Okay, so there's a sneak peek of the Super Bowl. The official trailer came out last week. There we go. Mm-hmm. So not surprising. Mattel, Lego jumping on this, obviously. I mean, I don't really know how much more we have to say. Like, this, I think it explains itself. Like, more minions will never die. It's like the next Star Wars. I don't know.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We can guarantee you that much.
So what I'm waiting for when, like, one of these people on their streaming service makes, like, a series out of them, like the Minions cartoon. That's got to be their next. Yeah,
the animation style is a little tricky. I could see them switching up the animation style a little bit. They do it in a lot of other ones, too. But I can see something like that, yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. All right, so moving on. I know we're going kind of fast, but hey, we got lots to talk about. This one, strange. I didn't know, except for the live action movie, which again was in the 90s, so it sucked in a good way, I guess.
Right.
We have a new Mortal Kombat movie called Scorpion's Revenge.
Yes.
All right, so you were jumping on this already, so I will give you the reins for a minute. Did you know anything about this beforehand, or are you just super excited?
We have already been talking about it on the podcast. We cannot wait for this movie. It is Mortal Kombat using anime stylings to make a series of movies. So this is Scorpion's Revenge, but they're setting up a series of these to where we can expect like Sub-Zero's attack and stuff like that. So it's going to be really fun. And just because it says Scorpion's Revenge, it's actually going to have the full cast. It should be a lot of fun. If you guys know Mortal Kombat history, I'm not a big fan of playing the games. I just love their history. It's wackadoo with like multiple timelines. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
All right. Well, it looks like Warner Brothers is back at it. So one thing Warner Brothers can do well other than Harry Potter is, I guess, these straight-to-video movies. Warner Brothers does have a lot of collection of straight-to-video, straight-to-DVD. So it's good to see that. Well, I mean, obviously it's their franchise, so obviously they'd be working on it, but it's good that they're actually working on it and not kind of, you know, moving it out to somebody else but putting their name on it. So basically the plot that we have so far, once in a generation, the aging warlock Shang Tsung hosts an interdimensional martial arts tournament. I see where the trippy comes in, where the victor will challenge him for the fate of their homeworld. But deep below in the depths of the nether realm, the sorcerer Quan Chi makes an offer to a troubled soul who lost both his family and clan from genocide by restoring him as a specter bent on revenge, Scorpion. Now, really quick, was he the guy that was able to pull your spine out of your body in the video game?
I think they all could at one point or another, but yeah, he's the one known for it, yeah.
Okay, good. So that is the guy that, like, will grab, like, something and just, like, yank your body out of your...
Yeah, he's the yellow guy, if you guys know that. That's the yellow one. There's the blue one that's Sub-Zero. He's the yellow one.
There you go. Okay, so yeah. It has an interesting cast. Starting off, we got Joel McHale, which, good for him. He hasn't done a lot since Community. We have Jennifer Leigh Carpenter from the show Dexter, if you guys remember that. Jordan Rodriguez from Dance Academy, Home and Away and the Fosters. Patrick Seitz from, voice actor, but he's also script writer for most of the stuff too, so that's kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Steve Bloom, I love how they say, known for a distinctively deep voice. There you go. Art Butler. Darren DePaul from the Final Fantasy games. So obviously this guy knows video games. Let's see, we got people like David B. Mitchell, another voice actor. I'm trying to look for the people that we might have heard of. Okay, we got Ike Amadi, who those of you who watch or who played Infinite Crisis and Injustice 2. Kevin Michael Richardson, who's pretty much done everything in the 90s. Gray Griffin, another one who's in everything from the 90s, Fairly Odd Parents, Danny Phantom, Grim Adventure, Billy Mandy, and again, another guy from the 90s, Fred Tascatero. I always pronounce his name wrong. So not a large group of people we might know, but I think for a movie like this, that's okay, because you're not really looking for name recognition, you're looking for the characters, correct?
Yeah, it's all about the voice actors. So these, a lot of these voice actors are not like, you know, household names, but their voices you'd recognize.
Right.
Joel joining the cast is just almost a vanity, but everybody else is already names that have been doing video games. Video game voice actors are some of the most talented voice actors out there. They have to do all their roles by themselves. They're perfect for this movie. A lot of them have already done Mortal Kombat game properties before, so they're already voices you'd recognize. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. So reports of the new animated movie were hinted at last January, actually, as a tie-in to an upcoming live-action reboot. I know about the reboot coming up, too. We can talk about it in a second as well. So I guess this was years and years in the making. I always feel like maybe this was already done and already set up. It's just they needed the right time to bring it out. So, I mean, is it on purpose that they're bringing out around the same time as live action, or, you know, it just makes sense because of the franchise? Like, what are they trying to do for that?
Well, when it comes to WB, it's good to separate in between animation and live action, because what we can mirror this to is the DC universe. So WB has all the rights to do other publishing for videos, and DC animation, stellar. I have not seen one that I disliked. There were some that are better than others, but none that I disliked. Compared to live action, meh, they're okay. So usually they will try to kind of pair them together. Like, for example, They'll come out with a DC movie or animated movie that's tying in with the comic books, like maybe there's an event coming up, stuff like that. So I think they did wait to release this until the live action was a little bit closer. They were probably trying to release it during MK11, I think it was last year, the year before, when that game released. So there was probably like, we could try to push it for this. We didn't hit that target, so let's push it back for that, you know.
All right, that makes sense. And actually, it's coming out fairly soon, it looks like, on digital April 14th and on Ultra HD, because we all need that in our lives, on April 28th. All right, so moving from an adult martial arts film to another franchise that I just still don't understand, but it's
doing I have no clue about this
super
one.
Super well. So one of Disney's most recent or recent-ish cartoons was Phineas and Ferb, about two kids that basically get away with anything because their parents are oblivious. That's like every cartoon, I guess.
Pretty much,
yeah. They have a pet platypus, which pretty cool. I want a pet platypus. Other than that, you know, they do play off on a lot of culture references, though. They did actually make a movie based off Star Wars, and it was basically every Star Wars reference in there, right down to the characters being drawn as people like Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Chewie. Yeah. This is just another one in their group of movies. The difference here is that it's not coming to theaters. It's going right to Disney Plus. This one is called Candace Against the Universe. Premises, Phineas and Ferb travel across the galaxy to rescue their sister Candace, who has been abducted by aliens and found utopia in a far-off planet free of pesky little brothers. So again, just like the other cartoons we talked about, like Bob's Burgers, this will probably be a long episode of the show, I would guess. Obviously, you know, I know we're both not super fans of this, but what it's probably just another way to make some more money, right? Otherwise, I don't really see the point of wasting time.
Yeah, it's just Disney Plus, you know, bolstering their roster. I think you and I are too old for this one. You know, this is just
this one came out a little after, you know, it's got some people that I remember from older, you know, like Ashley Tisdale, Dee Bradley Baker, people who I think are in the cartoon as well. We'll bring up another one that you actually are a fan of from another channel. But and I think we'll probably ask the same questions there too. But I asked the same question I asked about Bob's Burgers. Is there a thing with this now? Like, people like long episodes, movie type of thing, or are they literally just making money? Like, do people want it, or are companies just saying, I don't care, we're going to make it anyway because we can?
Well, artistically, it is nice to kind of see what a company or what a development team can do when you extend the screen time on somebody. So we want to see what happens with the character if they're given an hour and a half instead of half an hour. There's that. Like, there's interest in seeing that. But I think a lot of it is just like, oh, I'm excited to see another Bob's Burgers, Phineas and Ferb. You know, you're just excited to see them again. For some of these people, like Phineas and Ferb, they're kind of not being made anymore. So this is your chance to get another dose. You know, they're far and few between now.
That's true. That's the one difference of Disney cartoons than when we had grown up. They don't last nearly as long, except for the only reboot that is still on right now is that DuckTales one.
Yeah.
But other than that, not a lot of Disney cartoons are around long. Maybe Disney just needs to stop with the short cartoons and stick to their movies. I don't know. Or just bring make back, more Mickey Mouse.
Or just bring back Darkwing Duck. I mean, just make me happy. And bring back Darkwing Duck.
Well, if you're going to do that, just bring back, what was it, Disney Afternoon, that whole block of...
God, yes, please do that. And I will
just stay home and be happy.
I'll eat sugary cereals and watch cartoons all day. That'd be perfect.
There you go. I think I was walking down the aisle the other day, and there was a Hershey Kiss cereal next to the Gordon Graham's s'mores. And we wonder why there's a problem with... Yeah, that's crazy. Not going to go there, but okay. All right, sure. Before we get to, of course, we'll move on. So here's another one that I'm super stoked for, because this franchise is still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Scoob, which I don't know why they changed his name, but whatever. Again, this is the origin story of when Scooby met Shaggy, and basically that inseparable friendship came to be. And the rest is decades of history. So I think I'll ask the question anyway, but I think that it's just kind of obvious. The reason why this is popular is because it's Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah, and one thing that's kind of big with this one is it's actually the launch of a universe they're trying to make, the Hanna-Barbera universe. We've talked about this on our podcast. They're actually working on a Jetsons one next, and then after that, presumably Flintstones. And they're going to be using the same animation, the Scoob animation. It's kind of this neat, kind of almost like a flatter CGI look. It looks really good. I like the lighting in it. Anyways, they're going to be using that for all their theirs in this Hanna-Barbera universe they're creating.
Nice. I did not know that. Okay. So what's funny though, is that there's only going to be one original voice actor, which we'll get to in a second. The rest of the characters that usually were done by the cartoon, we have Mark Wahlberg, we have Zac Efron, we have McKenna Grace, Amanda Seyfried, Jason Isaacs, Ken Jeong, Gina Rodriguez, and Will Forte, and a bunch of others. The only person coming back, and I appreciate it because this is what he's known for, is Frank Welker, who we know as pretty much every 90s character that wasn't a human being in a cartoon.
Yeah.
he plays Scooby. He was also Optimus Prime. I believe he was on G.I. Joe cartoon. He pretty much did them all. So I appreciate that at least they got him to do that. Do we think it's kind of weird that it's new actors, or was this kind of already seen coming because it's 2020?
This is seen coming. If they're going to create a universe out of this, they're going to need to make sure that they have names to bring it into. It's like trying to change, you know, Kermit the Frog or Bugs Bunny. Like when you do the voice acting change on that, it's so careful and you can notice the difference. As good as they are, you can still notice the difference. So they were definitely going to be making sure they stick with Scooby, but everybody else, I could see them totally trying something new and get, you know, and just liven it up a little bit for the new generation.
That's true. And actually it's funny, you said about the universe, because we have new characters. We got Blue Falcon, which is from the cartoon. We have Dick Dastardly. We have Dynamite and we have Captain Caveman. All of which were from other Hanna-Barbera franchises. I believe the main one was Wacky Races that they were all in.
Yeah, they're attempting to actually bring that too. They're having some issues with that one, but man, I hope so, because Dick Dastardly is so great. I love that character.
I feel like he always needs to be beat in the head with something though. Like he deserves to be like smacked in the head with a frying pan every 2 seconds. Because
but him sitting there twirling that mustache, I mean that's childish right there.
what was it when they remade that Dudley Do-Right and they had the really evil dude with his live action? I was like, that just looks wrong. Like do that live. No.
Yeah.
I was like, please, Yeah, so basically this is an origin story. Usually I'm not a fan of origin stories. You know, Marvel, DC.
Right, yeah.
Enough of those. But I think because it's a cartoon, I will give it a go. It's hard not to want to see what they were like as you know, little kids or puppies. Mm-hmm. So I think it has something going there. And if what you're saying about the universe actually ends up working out, I mean, who knows where they can go with it. There are plenty of Hanna-Barbera stuff that I don't even think was touched even in the 90s. You know, there was the live-action Flintstones movie, which was great. They used to make those crossover cartoons, you know, the Jetsons meet the Flintstones.
So great.
They used to make, you know, Scooby-Doo meets pretty much everybody. I don't know why. It just happens. So if what you're saying ends up working out well, I can see this hopefully being the start of something good, as long as they don't overdo it like they do. You know, and again, people are going to hate me like they do Star Wars. Right. Star Wars kept on going. This one maybe should limit itself to a specific few cartoons and just kind of stick to that. You know what I mean?
Definitely agree with you on that one, for sure.
All right, so moving on to the next one, and this is another strange Disney Pixar, because that's what they do. This one is called Soul. John Gardner, a middle school music teacher, has a long dream of performing jazz music on stage, finally gets his chance. However, an untimely accident causes Gardner's soul to be separated from his body and transferred to the U Seminar, a center in which souls develop and gain passions before being transferred to a newborn child. And Gardner must work with souls in training, such as 22, a soul with a dim view on life after being trapped there for years. So is it me, or do Pixar movies seem to be getting darker as they go?
Well, it's so tricky because Pixar, they master this ability to tell a story it's beyond date and time, or, you know, to where it could be watched from anywhere in the world and they could kind of relate to it. And 20 years from now or 20 years before, it could still be related to. So this one, what's not being conveyed too well is it's really about, by the description, is it's about music, a lot of this movie, and jazz and stuff like that. So I think this is going to be one of those things where it's weird, but then like Inside Out or something like that. When you watch it, you're like, that makes sense. And Pixar's kind of they're the only ones still trying to do this, where they try to make sure that they stay universal. I think it's the best way to do it. Like when you watch Wall-E, you can't watch Right. Wall-E and have a bias against it because it's just Wall-E. It's just Wall-E. And the Right. story of hope is there. And that's something that's universal. I think that's what they're trying to do with this, is stay universal. It's just kind of, it's something that only Pixar is able to do. It's going to be weird. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, okay, I trust you guys. Let's see what this is. It's a little weird, but okay.
So, and actually it's funny because the majority of the voice cast are actually musical and themselves. We got Jamie Foxx leading the cast. We have Questlove from, I always forget his band. The hell was it called? The Roots.
Jimmy Fallon. Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, the Jimmy Fallon. We got Sugar Sean from The Cosby Show, and Daveed Diggs, who is also in another band, but he also was in Hamilton, which was a full-on musical. For and sure. Then, of course, we got Tina Fey, just because you need a movie with Tina Fey.
I like Tina Fey, yeah.
So, again, I don't know if I'm going to rush out to see this in the theater, but when it comes on Disney Plus, which I'm sure it will soon after, mm-hmm. probably watch it. You know, I think you pretty much summed up. I don't think I really want to say anything else. I think they do have a way of making odd plots make sense once you visually see it. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty much. I get that vibe
you're selling. You're like, I don't know what this movie is, and I'm excited to figure out what the heck's gonna happen. Like, it's,
no, I mean, you really neat. Hit it. What you just said before, you really hit it exactly perfectly. I mean, they have a way of making stuff that doesn't make sense actually kind of work out in a weird way. So
yeah.
Right now, I am totally no thank you, but maybe when I see a trailer or something, I'll be like, okay, sure. This yeah. might work. Who knows?
They've been pretty quiet about it too, which is kind of odd, but they've been really quiet about it. I think they're trying to really sell Disney Plus right now. They don't want to advertise any future projects. They have.
And what's really interesting, really quick, we have Trent Reznor from God, I'm so old now. What the hell is his group?
I'm Googling it. I don't know.
Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
my God. We got him, and we got Atticus Ross, who I believe. Okay, he did The Social Network, but I think he's in a lot of musicals. So the two of them are actually composing the score. So
okay.
That's kind of interesting for a Pixar movie, especially somewhere with Nine Inch Nails. And then we got AJR, a newer band, playing the main song for the film as well. So that's that. Let me know what you guys think below. All right, yeah. So I'm going to let you hit the rungs on this one because you were super excited, apparently.
I am super excited for this one. Heck,
SpongeBob is back. Sponge on the Run. Premise is SpongeBob and Patrick go to rescue Gary, who has been snail-napped by Poseidon. Travel to the lost city of Atlantic City, and reveal the origin of SpongeBob meeting Gary for the first time. All right, take it away.
SpongeBob is back. It's great.
And that's it, guys. All right, we're done.
If you want to find me in May, I'll be at the theaters watching SpongeBob. I may be the only adult in the room, but I will be there with my happy face on. So this is a whole new animation for SpongeBob, which is pretty exciting. They're kind of using this. It feels almost like a claymation when you're watching, but it is completely CGI. And it's the origin story of Gary. Gary is everybody's favorite pet. So pretty excited about this. We got Squidward back. We got Patrick Starr. I mean, Mr. Krabs. It's the whole gang. To me, I think SpongeBob is one of our best classic cartoons. Like, it's the newest 90s cartoon we have, right? It came out in 99 originally,
right.
And it lasted for so long. And if you really wanted a piece of the 90s cartoons, you'd have to watch SpongeBob, which is still being made off and on today. So I love SpongeBob. To me, it's the last piece of my childhood, like, of those cartoon eras is still alive. It's really, really good.
All right, fair enough. So it looks like the majority of the cast is coming back. So Tom Kenny and Bill Fagerbach will be coming back. Oh, and Roger Bubass as Squidward Tentacles. So everybody's coming back for their roles. We do have some random cameo names. Snoop Dogg, Keanu Reeves, Awkwafina, and Reggie Watts. Snoop Dogg at this point is playing himself, so who knows. The other three have yet to be cast at a specific, but they are in the film, so we will see.
We do see Keanu Reeves' actual face. Like, he's actually like himself in there as well. In the trailer, okay. It shows him like talking to him as a spirit from the other side or some weird thing. Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say anymore. What is wrong with society? So again, this goes back to the original question. It's probably one reason to make more money, obviously. But I guess, as you mentioned, being that it's still more or less on Nickelodeon standard-ish, it's still fairly in people's minds, I guess. Is it too, I mean, you know, they made the other one already, so that came out. That people like, you know, David Hasselhoff in that one. I think Nickelodeon just likes to have fun. I don't really think they do it for any other reason than just kind of like, look at us, we can do this, and we're going to, so enjoy or don't enjoy. So, I mean, you know, you think that's kind of fair? Like, Nickelodeon doesn't really seem to care too much about their well-being. They're just like, we're going to make it because we can make it. And
Nickelodeon, owned by Viacom, just merged again with CBS, so they actually have an influx of money right now. They're doing pretty good. This is Nickelodeon's Pokemon, right? So, like, Pokemon is a good example of this. It's something that's last of the ages, and at the time I maybe thought it wouldn't, but now I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't see why Pokemon wouldn't last another 20 years. The same thing for SpongeBob. It's kind of the same thing with Pixar, where they make these stories that are fun to watch, where maybe like SpongeBob is getting his driver's license. It's just, they're short, quick, they're 11-minute episodes. The movies are a ton of nonsense, and they're just, you'll go in as an adult sometimes with your kids, and you'll be like, oh, this is going to be silly nonsense, but then you find yourself laughing at stupid jokes, and you're just like, that's SpongeBob, you know, and it's just gonna last a long time. Nickelodeon knows that they have something that's timeless, and they'll just keep making it. Every 5 years, we get a new one. Yeah,
that's true. We'll just keep getting SpongeBob movies until they can't do it anymore, or the actors like, I just kill me now. I don't want to.
I'm getting older.
at some point, you know. But the one guy that always comes to mind when somebody says that is Clint Eastwood. The guy's like 95, and he's still acting. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're eating, but damn, right on, dude. Like,
serious.
Keep doing it until you die. Or of course, the joke is always Betty White's going to outlive everybody because she's Betty White. I found the funniest meme the other day where it was like, everybody's dead. What the hell's his name from Aerosmith? Not Steven Tyler, but the other guy.
I'm thinking Steven Tyler.
Keith Richards is walking around, and he runs into Betty White holding like a lightsaber, and she's like, this time is going to come. Let's do it now. Like, they're the only two people that are going to be alive on Earth after everybody's dead.
I can see that. It'd be a very slow fight, but a fun one.
Exactly. Sitting there with like swords and stuff, just going at it. Okay, so I will, as little as I really interested as it right now, I will give it a thumbs up. It's good to see them still jumping on the bandwagon. The only concern I have, which kind of like the other franchises, is that I hope they don't kind of overdo it, because then you kind of saturate yourself and then you end up getting so much stuff that even the most devoted fan might be like, okay, like I don't have enough time in the world now to be watching all of this. So hopefully the studio has some sort of common sense as to, let's limit ourselves to, like you said, like every 5 years and do like one big one and kind of just leave the rest of the world to whatever. You know, but yeah, so all right, so ending off today, this one, and I again, another one that I've seen, it's a great cast. I just, you know, I never play with the toys, I don't know. Yeah. Trolls is coming back with its world tour. Probably the best cast I've ever seen for anything. We have Anna Kendrick, Justin Timberlake, James Corden, Ozzy Osbourne, Rachel Bloom, George Clinton, Mary J. Blige. Basically, anybody who sings or can sing is in this movie.
Or just famous.
Anyway. So I think in the first one, it was basically the trolls were trying to get away from the weird goblin creatures, and everybody at the end of the movie, like everybody became friends, everybody was happy. This one looks like it's actually focused more on their music. And basically they're trying to, you know, the King Thrash, played by Ozzy Osbourne, wants to destroy all other kinds of music other than his, and it's up to the trolls to get everything back. Musical kids movies, I gotta say, are actually an interesting bunch. I can appreciate it more because it's a newer niche, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something missing. What exactly? And who? Oh, this is DreamWorks again. So another DreamWorks thing.
Right.
Something was missing. What do we think of the first and then this upcoming?
So I didn't have a chance to watch the first one, but I remember being in the theaters and watching the very first trailer for number two. and something struck me, and I right away I was like, okay, I'm going to see this movie. I like the way they set up different factions within the trolls, depending on the genre of music, and it reminded me so much of the Lego movie, where you would go to like the princess world, where everything's light and bright and stuff like that. Then you'd go to the Old West or whatever. You know, everybody has their own worlds, and you're sitting there and you're like pulling a member from each one, and that's exactly what they're doing with this one. You can tell they're pulling a guy from the Western world, one from this world, punk and stuff. And I think it's good because it explores music, and it's a really good way to share the genres of music and how much they are all interconnected. It's like it explores the differences. And for the younger audience, it's good for them to embrace music and see what's out there. You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm interested in this movie. I haven't seen the first one, but I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I might actually do it. The soundtrack was great, like I said. And, you know, they're adding so many more musicians, but not just pop. They have rappers. Right. They have country. They have techno. They have, you know, hip hop. They have some, you know, people like George Clinton, who, God, the guy was around before we were born. Yeah. You know, so, Ozzy Osbourne, somebody who you can't understand a word the guy says, but he's hilarious because just so many drugs. I don't know.
He's a selling point to me. I love me some Ozzy.
Funny, you know, like one of the award shows the other day, him and his wife are on stage doing it, and like she spoke the whole time because like he knows nobody understands him. Like he's just like, okay, you talk. I won't make any sense. It's interesting from the standpoint of music. Do I think the plot to these are great? Not at all. But like you said, a way to get kids into a genre of something that they may not be into, because as they've shown, music is one of those things that helps, you know, therapeutically, it helps people, you know, get through tough times. So anything that you involve music and kids together, it's probably going to be a good mix of something. I definitely can see like CDs going off, you know, for years after. And it seems fun. I will tell you from my point of view, you're not missing much, but if you want to see the first one, you know, go for it. I think this is probably could be a standalone, I believe. And then of course it's got Kunal Nayar from Big Bang Theory. So how can you go wrong?
Yeah,
he just shows up randomly. He was in like the Ice Age movie too, as like a bear. I don't know why, because they needed an Indian sounding bear apparently. So, and then of course, James Corden, because James Corden.
He's hot right now, yeah.
So yeah, so I think that'll end it there. We went pretty well on this one, I believe. So I will say, and I'll ask you after, I would give probably a maybe 80-85% for the upcoming year of animation. What do you think?
Yeah, there's some that are like never miss ones. And a couple that have me interested. I'm liking the direction animation is going in.
So from what we saw today, whether it's TV or movies, what do we think the next chapter of this is going to be? More of the same, or maybe just some new technology stuff coming?
Well, I think one thing we both keep discussing is the development studios behind all these movies. And right. It's interesting to see their different styles. And I think that's going to continue through. Pixar is going to do what they do. DreamWorks is going to continue going downhill a little bit. You know, we're going to keep seeing that happen. And I'm interested to see how that goes.
All right. Sounds good. So before we sign off here, I will pass the torch to you for a minute. What do you guys have going on for the next week or two?
Same old for Geek Freaks. My other podcast is actually a couple weeks into their fourth season now. So if you guys want to check that one out, it's Outlast Podcast.
And what do you guys do on that one?
That one, we review episodes of Survivor. And it's a lot of fun.
We were talking about that the other day, because I'm surprised it's still on. But hey.
Yeah, it's in its 40th season right now, so it's pretty crazy, actually. So there's that Outlast Podcast for Geek Freaks. Geek Freaks, we just doing the same old thing. We're getting ready for a convention in March. So if you guys are in the Northern California area, March 22nd, come on by and say hello.
There we go. All right. So as you guys know, every Monday we put on two new episodes for Alt Universe. We got some cool stuff uploading next week. I too am getting some live events set up. I will drag your asses down from Northern California to here. So probably closer to when it gets warmer again, because the weather is very funky. Well, I mean, you're in California, you know. So probably summerish time is when I'll probably get around to doing it. But until then, we will get you back on soon. I think I might have you either next week or the week after. So get ready and strap yourself in. All right, guys, until next time, as always, please stay nerdy.